A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one who recites 50 times Durood Sharif upon me daily, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again to our series of The Legacy of Raza. InshaAllah, in today's episode, we will be learning more about the great Imam, Imam Ahle Sunnat, Mujaddiduddin Millat, Ash-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. And Alhamdulillah, we have our honorable guest, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Ustad Hafiz Kaleem Al-Madani. InshaAllah, you will be able to listen to the words of wisdom and pearls from our beloved Ustad Sahib. InshaAllah, we will begin upon the greatest personality. You see, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh and his love for spreading knowledge and calling people towards righteousness and forbidding from evil. See, Sayyidi Imam Ahle Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh had a huge amount of love for this action. Now, forbidding from evil and calling towards righteousness is not the only job of ulama, scholars, imams, no. Rather, this is a job for every single Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, and there's no restriction to this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that call to righteousness and forbid from evil. You see, this is a job for every single Muslim that whenever we get a chance, we shall call towards righteousness and forbid people from evil. See, Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was a preacher since childhood. There's a well-known incident from the childhood of Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that once a teacher was teaching a lesson and Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was also studying amongst that class as well. And then a child entered the class and greeted the teacher with salam. The teacher replied, "May you live a long life." Hearing this, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was taken back and said humbly, "Respected teacher, in response to salam, one should say, wa alaykum as-salam." SubhanAllah, imagine nowadays, we are unable to correct our teachers. Or if we are to correct our teachers, our elder teachers, then, you know, sometimes you feel hesitant that I don't want to correct my teacher. But Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, the amount of love that he possessed for calling towards righteousness and preaching to people, that even he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he preached and he also mentioned a good thing towards his teacher. But the teacher was also a very righteous person. It wasn't the fact that the teacher was arrogant or his ego came in front of him and he could have said that you're a student, you're younger than me. Or how dare you reply to me in such a way? No. The teacher also took this advice from Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, that when he heard this corrective remark from Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, he was not displeased. Rather, he was pleased and blessed his promising student with abundant prayers. SubhanAllah. So even if we take an example from this, that if a younger person or a child was to correct us, for the elders as well, doesn't have to be necessarily a teacher, could be anyone. If a child was to correct us and the child is actually correct, then we are to take that person's advice. So we'll move to our honorable teacher. Ustaz, what would you say in regards to correcting one another?
SubhanAllah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very relevant topic in every age, because there will always be people doing good and then there will be people involved in wrong and evil as well. And if we look towards Al-Quran Al-Kareem and in particular Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we are the best ummah to ever be sent forth. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. That this ummah, al-ummatul muhammadiyya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best ummah to ever be sent forth for mankind. Why is that? This is the question. Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three things, three reasons as to why we are the best nation from all of the ummah, from all of the nations. Number one, we invite towards goodness. We call towards righteousness. Amrun bil ma'ruf. And wa tanhauna anil munkar, you forbid evil. This is the khasiyah of this ummah, that when they see wrong, they forbid evil. Well, they should do that. Wa tu'minuna billah. And they believe in Allah. Notice the order as well. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned iman at the end. Obviously, iman is most important, but this is the ahmiyah of calling towards righteousness and forbidding evil. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned them first as the distinct qualities of this ummah. So it's something that we should always do. And as you know, our master, our leader, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his mission. Calling towards the message of Tawheed, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forbidding evil. He did that time and time again. And this is why Islam flourished, Islam spread. And today, you will not find a single place in the world where Islam isn't. Islam is there through the barakah of calling towards righteousness and forbidding evil. And this account that you mentioned of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, it's a beautiful account because he, you could say, rectified a person who's older, senior, and it happens to be his teacher as well. Now, of course, he didn't do that with the intention of showing that he's superior, or there was no takabbur involved or anything like that. It was with sincerity, ikhlas, and it was with this aim in mind that I need to invite towards good and forbid the wrongdoing. And this is why the teacher accepted it as well. So when we look at both sides today, firstly, we're quite sust and lazy in inviting towards good. And secondly, if we do manage to call someone towards good, their reaction, many times we see, is not the reaction of someone who should be thankful. When someone corrects you, should be thankful. But what happens is, the reply will be, who are you? You know, you're just a kid. You know, I've lived, you know, decades longer than you. Who are you to correct me? So, like you said, today people are a bit scared. They're hesitant, they're anxious. What if I say something? What's the reaction going to be? Am I going to be blasted, as they say? Am I going to feel their wrath? And that shouldn't be the case. There's a famous account of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the second Khalifa of Islam. We all know how knowledgeable he was, very knowledgeable. Yet on one occasion when he was delivering a lecture and he was mentioning the muhur, which is the jama of mahar, the dowry for the women when they get married, one of the women who were in attendance, she was knowledgeable of these rulings, so she corrected Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, being Khalifatul Islam, Amirul Mu'mineen, he didn't turn around and say, who are you to correct me? You know, do you know my status? I'm the leader of the believers. You know, this is the honor I gained through sitting in the company of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing like that. In fact, Sayyidina Umar mentioned such words which are full of advice even for today's ummah and until Qiyamah as well. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in front of everybody, without any hesitation that, oh, what people are going to think about me, that I owned up to my mistake. He said, "Asabat imra'atun wa akhta'a Umar." That the woman, she has reached the correct conclusion regarding this masala. What she said is correct. And Sayyidina Umar, regarding himself, he said, "I made a mistake."
Allah.
And this is a big thing today. If someone rectifies us, are we willing to take that rectification? Or are we going to automatically go on the defensive? Like most people would. So alhamdulillah, we learn from this account that you mentioned of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat, that from a young age, subhanallah, he was willing and he was desirous of correcting things when he would see them, when he would see people act in incorrect ways and manners. He would be full of desire to correct them as well. And this is something that we should take from the life of the great Imam. Today, when we see wrong, we should try and rectify it. But again, the condition, as we will speak about in detail, is gentleness, with narmi, with beautiful wordings, and we must avoid a harsh manner and insulting and abusive language when carrying out this task of inviting towards good and forbidding evil.
Subhanallah, beautifully mentioned about our Ustaz Sahab, words of wisdom. See, Ustaz Sahab, there's a lot of things nowadays that obviously we're learning about call towards righteousness. When we are rectifying people, you see, there's a famous statement that a lot of our youngsters say, which is that only Allah can judge me. And now, no doubt in this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will judge on the day of judgment. But the intention behind this, you know, when somebody is committing a haram action or some sort of haram action that he's doing, when a person tries to rectify that person, he says, only Allah can judge me. And this is something that a lot of our youngsters and our youth say just so that they can get around to do that action. And, you know, the question comes, Ustaz Sahab, is that do they really want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge them?
No.
You see, on the day of judgment, you know, when we're placed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in the dunya, we can't give judgment, you know, if somebody was to ask us a question, like, for example, our parents. We stayed out all night, our parents questioned us, where were you all night? Mm-hmm. We can't answer. Or if our manager questions us that I gave you a certain task, you didn't complete it, why didn't you do it? Yeah, we end up, you know, stuttering at that time. And these are only worldly people. But then at the time, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we question then.
Oh.
See, there's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is for the viewers of Madani channel, that before we state the statement of only Allah can judge us, then make sure you know what your intention is behind it. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, man husiba udhiba, that the one whose accountability is taken, he will be punished. Imagine, dear viewers of Madani channel, that if we can't give, you know, a reason for our wrongdoings to the people of the dunya, then how will we be able to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment? You see, alhamdulillah, so many ulama out there, so many a'imma out there who call towards righteousness and they forbid from evil. If, you know, it's the job of the imams, it's the job of the ulama that when they see something evil happening or something haram happening, they are to catch upon it and they are to forbid from it. But then for the awam, for the public, it's your job to accept this advice. But initially, what happens is that we end up rebelling against it. And you see, this characteristic of rebellions and rebelling is the characteristic of shaitan. You see, when shaitan was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he was arrogant, right? He was arrogant that I'm made out of fire, he's made out of soil. Why should I do sajda to him? That was one. But another one was that he rebelled against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not want to listen to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was one of the characteristics that shaitan possesses, and he possessed. And look at the state of shaitan now. He's accursed till the day of judgment. You see, this is a certain characteristic that we do not want. That if somebody is advising us, then we should be sincere with ourselves and we should seek that advice and we should accept it, not rebel against it. You see, for example, you know, startup is getting quite hot nowadays. You know, the sun is out, the heat is, you know, rising. And a lot of our youth, they're wearing shorts. You know, once as well, Ustaz Sahab, I was on social media and I was scrolling through. And there was a imam and he was giving advice upon wearing the permissibility of shorts or not. And of course, we know the awrah is including the knees. And people in the comments, Allahu Akbar, really like, some person was saying that, we've got bigger problems in the dunya. You know, if I want to wear shorts, I can wear shorts if I want to. You know, when advice is being given, but they're rebelling against it. So they're not taking that advice. So how would we, you know, advise people? Like, you know, we should take the advice instead of rebelling against it. What should we say to them?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And as you said, people are quick to become very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, again, I quote the great Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who said, and this is on record, his statement, he said that The best people to me are those who tell me about my faults.
Allahu Akbar.
Who tell me about my defects and uyub. Now this is his humbleness. We know he didn't have uyub like us because he was in the company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for so long. And he was such a respectable and just individual. Everybody knows about the just nature of Sayyidina Umar. Mm-hmm. But he said, the best person is the one who notifies me of my uyub, mm-hmm. my defects. And today, it's the opposite. We want people around us who are, we could say, yes men.
Hmm.
They won't ever object to what we're doing. In fact, they will join us in doing that wrong. So this is how people befriend others, like-minded people. But everyone should have in their friend circle someone who is trying to practice the deen, is trying to adopt piety. And if he sees the friends doing wrong, going off the right track, he rectifies them. And he's not hesitant that if I say something, they're going to say, you know, 100 words back to me or blast me or, you know, become angry with me. So this is a wrong attitude to have that, you know, there's bigger problems. There may be bigger problems, but the problem right now for that person is the fact that he's committing sin. So he needs to rectify himself. So this is also, I think in psychology, they call it projecting when somebody is doing wrong, but then he tries to take it out on others. He tries to make them look like the wrongdoers. But this is not the way of a believer. A believer should be quick in adopting the criticism, constructive criticism that has been given to him regarding his behavior. Now, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, this isn't something that I think the viewers will find this interesting. This wasn't something that he developed late on in life. This was something, as you heard from the childhood waqiyah, that it's from the beginning. And today, if we want our children to not have this attitude that you said, that, you know, why are you blaming me? Why are you accusing me? But from the off, we need to provide them with such Islamic upbringing that they can also already differentiate between right and wrong. And they are also of those who invite towards good. What do we do today? You know, we teach our children the wrong things. So someone comes knocking on the door, you look through the ring bell, oh, it's so-and-so, I don't want to see them. But they're going to tell them that dad's not at home. Tell them that mom's not at home. So we're already teaching them to lie, na'udhubillah. And the child, being innocent, he'll go and say, oh, my dad said he's not at home. My mom said she's not at home. So instead of teaching these things from the off, imagine if we taught our children, when you see wrong, you should try and stop it. Using wisdom, not by hitting others or abusing them. So imagine a society where children like that grow up. They'll all be inviting towards good. They'll all be inviting towards the path of Allah and forbidding evil. So with Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, it was something that most definitely his parents instilled in him. His parents were like that as well. And there's a beautiful incident, in fact, from the seerah of Allah Hazrat, that he had a neighbor, Haji Muhammad Shah. That was his neighbor, a lot older, senior. He was a landlord. Nowadays, when we say someone's a landlord, someone's got properties, he's got a portfolio, we associate arrogance with that. We associate living a lavish lifestyle, a flashy lifestyle. And there's certain character traits that come with that. You're not willing to take any criticism. You're not willing to listen to anybody. And that attitude does creep in, that who are you to tell me? You know, only God can judge me. Only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can judge me. And as you rightly pointed out, if Allah truly judged you and he enacted justice, you would have nowhere to hide. So the fact that people are telling you in the world, this should be taken as a blessing, that they're already telling me that, look, if you don't stop doing this, if you don't curb your ways, you're going to be in trouble tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. But anyhow, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma had this neighbor who was a landlord, and he wasn't like normal landlords. He didn't have traits like arrogance, or he didn't look down on others. He didn't reject any advice that people would give him. So what happened was, one day, it's mentioned that Sayyid Qana'at Ali, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he states that one day I saw this very neighbor of Allah Hazrat brushing the threshold, you could say the door of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma's house. And when he saw this, he thought, wait a minute, Haji Muhammad Shah, such a senior person, he's a neighbor, okay, but how come he's doing this? Because I tried to take the broom off him, but he said no. He said, I'm going to continue doing it myself. And he said, son, it's my pride to be sweeping at the threshold of my spiritual guide.
Subhanallah.
Sayyid Qanaat Ali, he was astounded. He thought to himself, spiritual guide? I never knew that Allah is your murshid. You're older than him.
Subhanallah.
And this is when he revealed, he said, look, I'm older than him. I'm older than Imam Ahl Sunnah. I've seen his childhood. I've seen his youth. And I've even seen his old age now. And I have found him to be unparalleled in this day and age. Nobody can match him in terms of his nature, his qualities, his good character. And this is why I pledged allegiance to him as well. And he mentions, he goes, look, anyone can appear to be respectful in old age. But when they've got a clean slate throughout their life, their childhood's pure, their adulthood's pure, their old age is pure, that's when you know that they're truly honorable and they have true piety as well. So this was the case with Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. From day one, he was very, very pious as well. And this is a message for us that if we're like that from the off, then inshallah, that will bode well for our future. And when we're old as well, throughout our lives, people will be willing to listen to us. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he proclaimed his prophethood, although the people rejected the message, what they didn't reject was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They couldn't call him a liar. They couldn't call him someone who's not truthful in his promises. They couldn't call him untrustworthy because he showed that he was. And there's so many accounts regarding that as well. So Allah Hazrat, in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the off, he maintained that purity, that chastity, that modesty, and it stayed with him throughout his life. So, and that helped him tremendously when inviting towards good as well. Otherwise, it's famously said that if a person outwardly adopts piety, but in private he is not pious, you know, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will never truly have an effect on people's hearts. He won't have that efficacy because the main thing being pious in private, he's rejecting that or he's not concentrating on that. And he's just focused on the zahiri, what people see. It's like, imagine somebody comes to visit your home and you embellish the outside, beautify the outside, but the inside is a dump.
Allah.
So they see the outside and they're very impressed. They walk inside and they're like, what's here? Meaning the heart is corrupt. So we need to adopt outward piety and inward piety as well, inshallah, in private as well. This will help us tremendously when inviting towards good and forbidding evil.
Subhanallah, beautiful words, mashallah. You see, in the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat in preaching towards righteousness, there are so many accounts where he didn't leave any sort of place where he didn't, wherever he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, saw anything bad happening, he would rectify on the spot. See, there's an incident in regards to the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat that he, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, was traveling for his second Hajj.
Subhanallah.
And it was a Friday. And when he arrived into the local masjid for the prayer, obviously during the sermon, the imam who was present there was delivering his speech. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he realized that whatever he's preaching is not religiously correct. And initially, if you think about it, it's Friday, masjid's packed. So many people out there. If the imam, if we know that imam has said something we know is not correct, I don't think we'll stop him right there and then. We'll probably wait until after, you know, I'll speak to him later or probably message him or give him a call, not even face to face. But you see, the nature of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat subhanallah was that whenever he saw something bad happening, he'll stop them right there and then. So when he heard the imam mentioning something which was not correct, then he, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he loudly exclaimed, mentioned, Allahumma hadha munkar. That, oh Allah, this is evil. But a lot of people may think that, you know, he could have said it afterwards. Why did he have to say it then? But this is an actual hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that whenever somebody sees an evil action, he should try to stop it with his hand. If he can't stop it with his hand, then he should try to stop it with his tongue. If he can't stop it with his tongue, then he should dislike it within his heart. And this is the lowest level of iman. So subhanallah, like here, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat acted upon this hadith. He understood that he may not be able to stop him with his hand, but he knew that he can stop him with his tongue. So he, rahmatullah ta'ala, stopped him with his tongue. So we know that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Subhanallah, who was acting upon this hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there's another thing as well, Ustaz said, that a lot of people need to take this into account, especially those who do call towards righteousness, that there's ways of calling towards righteousness, or there's ways of correcting people. Mm-hmm. You can't be blunt. You can't be like, you know what, I'm straightforward, I'm going to say whatever. No. There's always that dil azari as well. That's haram. Hurting another Muslim brother's feelings, that's also haram. So if we see somebody committing haram, we can't say that, oi, what are you committing haram for? Do you not know you'll end up going to Jahannam? It's going to hurt him. So there has to be ways and wisdoms behind it and how to correct somebody's actions. Like one incident in regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, that we know as through his previous stories as well, that he would correct his elders. You see, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he corrected one of another elder of his, that a place which is called Mahara Sharif, which is the Imam's spiritual home, and its spiritual successor, meaning Sajjada Nasheen, is Mahdi Hassan Mia, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he states that whenever I visited Bareilly, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he would personally bring me food and wash my hands. Once when I arrived in Bareilly, I was wearing a gold ring, he says, and I had a lot of decorative bands on, etc. And as it was the per usual habit of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he continued to wash my hands, etc. But at this time, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat said to him that, take your rings off and your bands off as well. And he took them off and he gave it to him. And after completing his schedule in Bareilly, he went back to Bombay where he lived. And when he returned to Bombay, his daughter was there. His daughter said to him, my father, a parcel has arrived. And within that parcel are your rings and your bands, and there's a letter inside of it. And the letter that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat wrote to us, that dear princess, both these ornaments are yours.
Allah.
So the Sajjada Nasheen was wearing the rings and the decorative bands, but the way Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rectified him was not direct. Rather, he took it off him in a way that he wasn't going to mind, because he washing his hands, etc. And then he parceled it to his daughter, saying, princess, these are yours. So here, the Sajjada Nasheen understood that, you know what, actually, I shouldn't be wearing these. Mm-hmm. Gold is impermissible for men. We know that any sort of jewelry other than a ring with a stone with inside of it is impermissible for men. So from this, subhanAllah, the wisdom of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, the way he rectified, was indirect. Not direct, not blunt, that you shouldn't be wearing this, this is haram. Even though Sayyidi Ala Hazrat could, as he want, if he wanted to, but to make sure that he doesn't hurt his feelings, etc., he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, indirectly rectified him. So
this reminds me of another account as well, where Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he was able to use the right approach every single time, depending on who was the person he's speaking to. So you just mentioned an account. There's another account regarding a person who was a layman from the Awam, and he was confused regarding the knowledge of the unseen possessed by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ilmul Ghaib. Now, when this person was brought to Ala Hazrat, he obviously wanted to answer questions that the person's going to pose. But again, he thought to himself, this person's from the Awam. I can't tackle the issue with him in a very ilmi, technical way. I'm not going to say to him, I've wrote so many books on it, have you read them? You know, try to read them and come back to me, or this and that. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was a master in understanding the psyche of the person. So that person had doubt. But there weren't such doubts that can't be removed except through munazara, debate, or anything like that. So Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma listened to his questions and answered him in accordance to his level of understanding. This is so important, as they say in a narration, كَلِّمُ النَّاسَ عَلَى قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. Speak to people according to their level of intellect. If Allah has started speaking about mantiq and other types of sciences and said, this is how we prove it, and this is how the knowledge of Allah is different, and the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ is different. If you went into very technical issues, then it might confuse that person. Secondly, Allah didn't say to him, that you've lived so long of from your life and all these years from your life, and you still don't understand this issue. Where have you been? Have you been living under a rock? You're ignorant, you're this, you're that. So imagine if you adopted this approach, that person wouldn't have listened. That person would have been disheartened. He would have left unsatisfied.
Hmm.
So what Allah Azad did was very gently, using wisdom, using beautiful words. Just as the Quran says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana." That invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful wordings. Allah Azad used this approach. And in the end, when that person left, he was left fully satisfied. He had no issues and objections anymore regarding the topic of ilmul ghaib of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So much so that when he was leaving, he said, "I'm so satisfied with the answer that now, if Allah Ta'ala wills, I will become the murid, the disciple of Allah." Now, when a hafiz, the hafiz was nearby who witnessed this, when he relayed to Allah that the person is fully satisfied, he wants to become your murid now as well. Subhanallah, that's how satisfied he is. Allah Hazrat even took that as an opportunity to spread goodness. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma said to that Hafiz Sahib who told him that the person is fully satisfied now, he said, "Look, I could have used a harsh approach. I could have been very direct with him. It wouldn't have solved anything. But you just saw the benefits of gentleness. I spoke to him. I used beautiful wordings. And the benefits that can be obtained through gentleness, they can't be attained through harshness." And instead of bringing him closer, they would have made him become very distant from me if I used harshness. He wants to become murid now. If I use harshness, he would have become an enemy. He would have went away and told everyone, "Don't go to this person, he's very harsh. He doesn't know how to answer, he doesn't know how to speak." Loads of things. But Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma said, "Look, those whose beliefs are wavering should be treated with compassion." This is the usul. He said, those whose beliefs are, you know, they're a bit shaky, they just need gentleness. They need a bit of guidance, pushing the right direction. Lovingly, we have to rectify them. What will this do? This will make them reach the truth, reach the correct aqeedah. And this was the life of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, where he needed to be harsh against the blasphemers, those who insulted the dhat of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was. But even then, people take it out of context. Even then, Allah Hazrat waited years and years and years, tried to send letters to them, said to them, do tawbah, that this belief is wrong. And when he realized that there's no turning back for those people, they're just stubborn, only then did he proceed with the writing about them. But he was a very gentle person in nature.
You know, this was also, like you mentioned, a lot of people nowadays, they claim to be the lovers of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and followers of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. But their approach and the approach of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is the difference between the sky and the earth. If you think about it, I know a lot of people do question things, or they question certain, like the knowledge of the unseen of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody used to question nowadays, and a person was a claimer to be the lover of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat in nowadays society, they'd be quick to, you know, go against him. Well, how dare you question about this? Or, you know, instead of explaining it to them, and like you mentioned, Ustaz Sahib, like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he would write letters to them, reminding them that, you know, retract from this statement, or, you know, this statement is wrong, you know, do tawbah from this statement. After writing multiple of letters to them, trying to rectify them, then he would put the last verdict on them. But this is something that the viewers of Madhya Channel need to understand, that before we start, as they say, firing shots at them, we need to rectify them, speak to them on a level, not go to the harsh way straight away. And this is another thing as well, like you mentioned, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat used his gentleness. You know, we need to be gentle with people as well. You know, a lot of people are already far from the deen. If we're going to be harsh with them, they're going to go even more further. They'll be like, "What's the point of going to the masjid? All they do is shout at me. All they do is, you know, look down upon me." If there's a layman out there and he's got a question, and it's a genuine question, even it doesn't matter if it's in regards to the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hayatul Nabi, etc., many other things as well in regards to the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah. If they've got certain questions, and if you've got the knowledge for it, we should try to give an answer with gentleness. Even if we don't have the knowledge, we shouldn't scold them. Why questioning it for? You should just believe in it. No. If they got a question, they can ask the question. If you know the answer, give an answer in gentleness. Don't scold them. Don't give them harsh words. Because if you give them harsh words, maybe next time they won't even ask you.
I think social media, where there are a lot of benefits, this is where it's quite harmful as well. Where people for likes, for followers and for viewership, they'll not approach that person. Like you said, you need to approach the person, sit with them, discuss the matter with them. Maybe it's a misunderstanding on their side. After a short discussion, things will, you know, be ironed out. But people won't do that, and they'll quickly upload a video with a thumbnail, you know, catchy one, but people will look at and think, oh, I need to watch this video. And they'll go all out, they'll, you know, use all the ammunition, they'll declare that person everything under the sun. Now, you confront that person, you say, wait a minute, did you actually speak to him? No, I didn't speak to him. I just saw his video and I thought I'd just make a rebuttal. Speak to him. He doesn't live on Mars. He doesn't live on a different planet. You can get his number, you can get his contact through social media. Speak to him. See if he's going to retract or not. Then, obviously, if you go ahead and make a video, it's a different matter. You say, look, I tried to rectify him, but he's stubborn on his deviant position. So I think with social media as well, we need to hold back. We need to have more dialogue, just like the ulama did. And inshallah, with dialogue, a lot of things can be resolved.
Subhanallah, beautiful words from our Ustaz Sahab. You see, today's topic was in regards to the call towards righteousness by Sayyidi Imam Ahlus Sunnah rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, and his method of calling people towards righteousness, his gentleness, the way he would rectify, it doesn't matter what age they were, now the way he would rectify his elders, the youngers, the hikmah that he rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi would use to call people towards righteousness, to correct them. You know, this is something that we need to understand as well. And we need to really study the seerah of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. If we claim to be the followers of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and the lovers of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, then we need to study his work. We need to study how he dealt with people with the wrong beliefs, how he dealt with people who questioned about the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, it's a humble request that you study the seerah, the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, so that we can attain more knowledge about him, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every single one of us the ability to act upon the life and to act upon the footsteps of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.